We're recording today on the lands of the Jagera people, and we acknowledge the traditional elders here, past and present. Hello everyone, I'm Andrea and welcome to Beyond the Rona. I'm a former registered nurse and midwife and community advocate.
And I'm Tim. I'm a digital marketer and small business owner. And on this podcast, we're on a journey here to find out what our community members think are the big problems and big solutions as we emerge from the pandemic.
Today, we're talking to Suzanne Clark and Linda McCarthy, and they're representing us in the Logan area for Animal Justice Party. They're both candidates for the upcoming election for Ford and Rankin. So I thought that we'd have a chat to them and find out how they think that we can build back better for the Logan areas of Ford and Rankin, and particularly through the lens of animal justice. And I guess now that we're coming through the pandemic and building back better. So welcome, Suzanne, or Sue, and welcome, Linda. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Can you tell us, so first of all, Sue, I met you when I was a candidate actually with you for the Stretton election. And I learned a little bit about Animal Justice Party, but can you tell me a little bit more about your platform and you know, a little bit more about what Animal Justice Party stands for?
Okay, the Animal Justice Party has been around for over 10 years now, and it actually started in response to the kangaroo slaughter, which was introduced by politicians, including the Greens. And that's how it had its early start over 10 years ago now. And it's just continued to expand, and we've got a state member in Victoria and two local councillors. And in New South Wales, we've got two local state MPs, which are making a big difference, and just recently a new councillor in New South Wales as well. So gradually we're expanding, hope to get some representation in Queensland. And obviously our focus is animals,
right,
the
okay.
environment, and also people. So, you know, it covers a wide range.
Yes, we're the only political party.
Yep.
That
yep.
represents animals, nature and people. We want stronger laws and penalties against animal cruelty, not just a slap on the wrist. We want a total ban on the live export industry of animals by sea and air. We want an end to puppy farming and overbreeding of companion animals. And we want to see a ban on animals in their entertainment. And that includes greyhound racing, horse racing, calf roping, rodeos and marine parks.
Right. So, Linda, if we go through them sort of one by one, I guess, is puppy farming a big problem in Logan?
In Logan, there would be some puppy farms, I'm sure of it. I know definitely in the Sunshine Coast, but there would be customers in Logan that are buying puppies sometimes online without actually going and seeing the condition that the mother is held in, and they're normally, you know, in cramped, filthy conditions. So puppy farming throughout Australia is a massive problem.
Yeah, there's also the problem of backyard breeders as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, how do you find that most people get their dogs? I know dogs are really, really popular in Logan. You know, how do you find most people get their animals in Logan? Is it usually through a breeder, or is it backyard breeders? Like, how do people?
Well, rescue has become very popular, and I think that's because of it started off with the UK Doghouse series, and now we've got the Australian version of it as well, which has really promoted rescuing dogs. But as you know, throughout the pandemic, that many people, because of their circumstances, actually decided to rescue a dog. But there's still too many people, and they don't even know if they're going to a pet shop or whatever, or online. Most people probably don't even understand that they're buying these dogs from these puppy farms, and it's also the father, the parents of the dogs are both suffering. So it's a big thing that we do is educate the public, because if they're not aware, you like to think they're aware, but the fact is not everyone is aware.
And like everything else, fashion quite often dictates, the French bulldogs, certain breeds become fashionable and people find them as a fashion accessory, mm-hmm. and will pay thousands and thousands of dollars, as opposed to going to the local pound or rescue group, where there are absolutely adorable, beautiful animals needing homes.
And some of these puppy farms are selling for $5,000 or $6,000. So, it's really a lucrative market.
Mm-hmm.
And the welfare, there's no welfare for the dogs.
I think it is becoming a little bit more fashionable, though, to get rescue dogs, though. I think that's becoming like a bit of a trend.
Yes, which is good. Yes, exactly. But we still have to educate the public. We still have to raise awareness of the issue, because some people are still purchasing designer dogs.
I saw that you had a success in 2017 to close down greyhound racing in Logan, but it still goes on in Ipswich. Do you think greyhound racing will start again in Logan?
Well, I think Logan spoke pretty clearly through councillors that Logan doesn't want a greyhound track. Obviously, there's online betting, which is even harder to stop. But, that was a massive win. And the Logan City Council, the mayor at the time and the councillors, they spoke out in support of not having a track here because of the gambling problems. And there are massive issues with gambling within Logan.
Yeah.
So I guess also.
Yeah, absolutely.
The government stopped pumping so much money into the industry. That doesn't help.
Well, that's what they're planning on doing, yes, Sue, in Ipswich, pumping $40 million into a greyhound racetrack when elsewhere in the world they are closing down.
Right.
It's just beyond reason that amount of money. We've been through a pandemic. We've been through natural disasters. Why on earth would any government think spending $40 million on a racetrack in a suburb that does have issues with gambling, why couldn't that money be directed to other needs?
And this is where, like, the AJP, if it gets into local council or state government or federal government, can actually raise these issues. At the moment, there's no one there in Queensland to, represent the animals and actually bring up these issues. And there's been success down south. Greyhound racing hasn't stopped, horse racing hasn't stopped, but there is a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy Medic and Emma Hurst and Mark Pearson are actually having wins for the animals in those areas. So this is what is badly needed in Queensland. And we really need federal representation, because at the moment there is.
I know that we have just had these floods, and I know obviously we've had a lot of animals affected by the floods, but one of the major problems is climate change, and I've had discussions with you before, Sue, that you've mentioned that people becoming vegan is one of the things that could help with climate change. Can you sort of explain that relationship for people who are listening?
Animal agriculture and its byproducts is responsible for the majority of greenhouse gases, so it sits at 51%. But animal agriculture is an industry that is protected by government at all levels. And the best thing you can do immediately is either eliminate or even reducing the amount of animal products. As a vegan, you don't buy leather. So there's so many other issues you have to consider. It's not always just about diet. But if we did, and people can transition to a vegan diet. You don't have to just say, okay, I'm vegan overnight, because it is a massive lifestyle change. And I know when I made that decision and my first thought was, oh my God, what am I going to eat? But I came to a point where I'd been researching, and also Animals Australia had campaigns going about factory farms. I knew nothing about it. And it never really entered my head when I was looking at it, was I going to go vegan? I just wanted more information. Then I went to the fridge one night, pulled out a steak from the freezer and no longer saw it as food. So it was just an immediate decision. But I initially just gave up meat. For me, eggs and dairy was the hardest. So then I transitioned over a few months. But I knew in my heart I could not possibly contribute to what's happening to animals anymore. I just couldn't do it. It just completely shocked me. And I know Linda's story, and she was sort of more enlightened than what I was. So I don't know, Linda, if you want to mention how you became...
Well, to my mind, going vegan.
Linda, do you have any health problems?
Health problems? No, not at all. No, my vitamin B range is fantastic. My iron, not at all. But on an individual level, going vegan is the best way to reduce your carbon footprint. And science agrees with us now. A plant-based diet uses less water, less land, and less energy. So we really do need a global shift. We all know that rewilding is critical to reducing, the heating of the planet. And animal agriculture is the greatest driver of deforestation worldwide. And also the extinction of native wildlife.
Yeah, so in Queensland, for example,
and
we
what
clear
about the
more
cost?
Land.
Because I find that, it's cheaper to actually, to not eat these
that,
sort of
That is only
special
because,
foods, I guess.
Because consumer demand. And we've already seen plant-based products come down
right.
in price. So the more people start eating those products,
I see.
The price will reduce.
Yeah.
So we've already seen that.
But you can
okay.
also shop very economically by purchasing beans, basically, tofu, and fruit and vegetables and grains. Meat is exceptionally expensive, and families are speaking out about it, but there is no need. You can get protein from other sources, and they are more inexpensive.
Yeah, and you've got to remember the government pumps a lot of
right.
money into
yep.
animal agriculture. If you had to pay the full price of meat, it would be far more expensive than what the consumer pays
yeah,
now.
Yeah, through subsidies and whatnot.
Yeah,
right.
and
yeah.
people don't realise. In the United States, this is going back maybe 8 years ago, and they looked at the actual expense of a Big Mac, and they were paying something like $4 or $5. The actual cost of the burger was $16. So that's how much money the government is giving towards these
wow.
industries.
I mean, it sounds as though as well like it is certainly and there is that need for public education and just more literature, in mainstream media about this. And it reminds me of that Netflix doco, The Game Changers, and
yeah.
how, yeah, slowly, more and more people are being exposed to, the fact that the traditional lifestyle and the traditional diet is climate wrecking.
Yeah.
What else do you think, like what are the other ideas? Like how can we get out to more people about explaining what that cost is to the environment?
It's really hard because the meat and livestock industry, there's a lot of money in advertising, in media. So they're reluctant.
Mm.
So that is a barrier. But Linda and I have both been involved with animal welfare and getting this message out for a number of years now. And but there's got to be more than that. People have to listen. And as I said, a voice in government is going to do that.
Yeah.
So, and that really is the next step, is to have a voice in government. And it is very confronting for people when they think, oh, my God, what am I going to eat if I give up animal products? But there are so many vegan restaurants. You can make some incredible meals with plant-based products, and they've replicated meat, and it's almost identical. And an instance of the animal agricultural industry and government feeling affronted by the plant-based movement is the labelling of these plant-based products. They don't want the mention of chicken or beef or anything like that on a product, but it's actually telling the consumer what this product tastes like, but they want to remove it. And so you'd have a product and you couldn't tell consumers what it tastes like.
What it is.
You know, it's just crazy. And then if they stop plant-based using, you know, names like chicken and beef or whatever, they're going to have to stop every product that's an imitation product, you know, like faux fur. It's not fur. So they shouldn't be allowed to use it. So the government is and the industry are actually trying to put barriers up to stop that message from getting out to the public, which, you know, it's very hard to contend with. But if we had voices in Parliament, and we've seen in state governments, New South Wales and Victoria, that having a voice in Parliament is making a difference and that message is getting out there.
Yeah. And so, Sue, you're for Rankin, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
And is there a major difference between Rankin and Linda, your area in Ford? Are there major differences between the two areas?
I wouldn't think so. What about you, Linda? What are your feelings? I think they're very similar.
I think so. I'm not really certain, though. We do have a lot of natural environments in Ford. We've got the Cornubia Forest. We have many wetlands, but I think you do as well. You have wetlands in your area. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it's very diverse.
And how did they go through the floods?
We were fine. I was fine. I drew back onto Cornubia Forest. Years ago, I think in the 2011 floods, the water did creep up close to entering the house, but not this time. So we were lucky, but elsewhere there were a lot of road closures.
Yeah, and there are areas that weren't impacted by the 2011 floods that have been impacted.
I did have one person I was keeping in contact with who was describing to me, you know, the loss of animals right down to like the worms even, and how, you know, I guess it's something that we don't even think about, that it's even the loss of the worms as the flood waters come through, the earthworms, you know, that some of us don't even think, you might think about the cows being washed away, but you don't think about like the little earthworms that
even
they're washed away, you know.
Yeah, a lot of biodiversity is destroyed. Like, and the thing is, though, this won't be the last flood, because we've gone from the worst bushfires in history straight through a pandemic and now to the worst floods in history.
So do you work closely with Animal Liberation Queensland?
We do. And, yes, Sue and I have for years, actually. They organise brilliant campaigns. We have a very good friend who manages the rodeo campaigns. So we've been very involved there, yes. And the greyhound racing, yes.
Okay.
We all seem to back each other. And, we support each other through, you know, the campaigns and all that sort of thing.
So
It's a tight-knit community when it comes to those issues and, you know, making sure that there are voices there and letter-writing campaigns. And Animal Liberation Queensland is very well respected by Animals Australia as well. So, you know, they've done a lot for Queensland.
And the other thing I notice is quite big out the Logan area is people having reptiles as pets. I don't know. I'm sort of watching the growth in this area. Have you noticed this at all? Like, and how do you feel about this? Like a lot of people tend to have snakes and lizards and things like that. It's quite popular out this way. How do you feel about that?
Well, we're against trying to domesticate more animals, especially reptiles. We don't support that in any way. all reptiles, animals should be free to live in their own natural environment and pursue their own needs and wants, as opposed to be in contained conditions and seen as, I don't know, a companion or entertainment.
Yeah, there's but big, then what about the people like, out there for animals? You know, the crocodile hunter or these, yeah, or these like wildlife places where they're sort of breeding them and raising awareness. I mean, do you agree with that stuff, or does Animal Justice Party think that no animals should be kept in zoos and things
only
like that?
You know, there are animals that are brought in to places, say, like Animals Australia, that can never be released into the wild. So in circumstances like that, but breeding them into captivity, if you look at SeaWorld as an example, in 1988 there was a Senate inquiry in Australia, a very extensive one, and they sought experts within Australia and overseas, and the Senate recommendation was to phase out all captivity of dolphins because of the cruelty in keeping them captive. And the Senate inquiry recommendation was basically ignored, and they brought in a clause and said you can only keep dolphins in captivity if you're keeping them for scientific purposes. And that's where SeaWorld scientific unit was introduced over 30 years ago. How long do you need to study these animals? It's just an excuse.
And Queensland.
But insane.
Sorry, Sue. Queensland is the only state that does still have performing dolphins.
Yeah. And it's and they do breed.
Oh, right.
They breed in captivity. Yeah. Every just read. When was it, Linda? New South Wales that closed down.
Yes, Emma Hurst. Emma Hurst has been very active in that area.
And she's the AJP.
She has been. Yes, AJP, Member of Parliament. She was up here with we had the first banned dolphin breeding protest outside of SeaWorld, and she spoke. So, yes, it is. Again, Queensland, as with calf roping, we are behind the other states.
Yes.
Very far behind.
Right.
Mm. At the time of the inquiry, there was an... there was a consortium that wanted to open up a similar place to SeaWorld down in Victoria, but because of the Senate inquiry, they were never given approval. So that was 1988. We're now 2022, and we still see dolphins in captivity. And for some reason with Queensland, it's more difficult to get those sorts of issues addressed. So I don't know
And it
why.
Seems like there's... There's so many, you know, forces at work there to maintain the status quo. You know, when you think about where SeaWorld is on the Gold Coast, like that tourist dollar, you can just see, like, all these barriers that they seem insurmountable. But certainly, like, I think it comes back to that point about, like, if you know, the public are made aware, and if there's, like, kind of more acknowledgement about these issues... Yeah, you know, like it's a market at the end of the day. If they can't sell those tickets into those theme parks,
but even
they become unviable.
Exactly. And I believe we will get there by raising awareness, and with the monthly protests that are held down there, the amount of people that drive by, thumbs up, they cheer, people are beginning to realise.
But what is going money on. Talks, and that's the barrier.
Yeah.
So it's like with live export, how long do you have to fight that for? And the only thing that they've improved in live export is the ability for anyone to obtain evidence of what goes on. And I think the last big one was a guy, he wasn't Australian, but he was working on the ship, and he filmed all this evidence of what was going on. And what they've done in that industry now is every staff member, when they enter... board the boat, have to give over any their phones. They're not allowed to have any phones or recording equipment. So it seems to be for the government is it's like with the ag gag, with activists going on to into farms and that sort of thing. Don't address welfare issues, just stop the activists from getting the evidence. And which makes it difficult. But there's enough evidence there now of what goes on. Nothing's changed. Nothing will change.
Yeah, and but the, I guess we need a transition for the farmers who are doing, you know, their best to survive. So we need some sort of transition plan for people who were involved in the live trade export, or people who were farming, animal export, or, we need some sort of transition for these people who are about to lose their livelihood.
Yeah, and the Animal Justice Party, that is something that we recognise too, is you can't just overnight say, okay, there's a complete ban. We've got to transition, even for plant-based. You know, people seem to think, okay, overnight it will, animal agriculture will stop. It won't. It has to be phased out and then transitioned for, because of the livelihood for these people. And they're fearful. They see the plant-based movement growing and they don't know what they're going to do, and we should be helping them to transition.
Yeah.
Because the more plant-based food, the more plants that need to be grown. So people won't lose their jobs.
Yeah.
They'll change the way they work.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I know a lot of farmers in the Northern Territory, I have experience with them that, you know, they went bankrupt when they shut down live trade export, like, overnight.
They didn't actually, many
years ago.
That's a bit of a myth. They didn't close down live export. They imposed a suspension for 5 weeks only on Australian-owned slaughterhouses over there. So, but people seem to think that there was a worldwide ban. There wasn't. It was just for the Australian slaughterhouses because they have to slaughter Australian animals in a certain manner. They weren't doing it. And so it was just a suspension for 5 weeks.
They weren't doing it, but,
And the government should be supporting these farmers.
There was a whole lot of
farmers,
cattle that were, they should have. There's a whole lot of cattle that were either on ships waiting to be, waiting to be offloaded at other countries, or they were at the docks waiting to be taken. And it was just a mess at that point. I remember.
Bigger mess than the animals, like the way they were
It was terrible. Yeah, if they had have helped these people transition, it would have been a lot better, a lot better.
But the thing is, it
was government.
The slaughterhouse workers, they're not getting the work. They're not getting full-time work because of the amount of animals that are sent overseas. You know, I'm against any slaughter, but I would prefer to see an animal slaughtered within Australia than having to endure that trip. It's just shocking. You know, with the sheep that were melting, the sheep actually melted from the heat, and that other guy that took that footage, but there was just, they melted onto the deck. It was just, and then they said they wouldn't ship the sheep in the summer months, and then it was out of the public eye. They bought it back, and that's just what they do. So with any win, they eventually, when the public outrage dies down, they underhandedly bring it back. You know, and it's 2022.
Yeah, they're considering, extending the season again,
So for our people of Logan, in Rankin and in Ford, so now that we're building back from the pandemic and we have this election coming up, we do have a lot of social problems in this area. So, you know, it would be good to get rid of a bit of gambling on the horses and the greyhounds and that sort of thing. Can you tell us, have you got any other, you know, what are your three big things that you think would be good for the people of Logan, Linda and Sue, have you got three big ideas for how we build back better?
Well, with I think Animal Justice Party, we do believe in increasing the funding for domestic and family violence shelters, because we realise that many women, up to 48%, will stay in violent homes if they cannot take their companion animal with them. So we want to increase in funding there. Yes, it's absolutely horrific. And there is a connection between controlling behaviour, threatening to abuse the family animal, so there's so many issues that are intertwined there. But my three things to build back better, I would ask fellow Logan residents to adopt, don't shop when you're looking for a companion animal, and please de-sex your animals as early as possible so we don't have the problems that we are having with so many cats and dogs, being bred and then ending up in rescue centres or pounds. And what I really do want would be a safe and healthy future for all children and a planet powered by 100% clean energy and fossil fuels being left in the ground.
They're my three. Look at the floods now.
And yourself, Sue?
Well, very similar to Linda. But as you say, Andrea, gambling is a massive problem which feeds into domestic violence. And, reducing the gambling would be, I don't know, it would just be a dream to be able to stop that. But just recently, the Racing Victoria was complaining because they're trying to get into schools to promote sports. In other words, support gambling. What every parent wants to is to have a child that is addicted to gambling. So, and we've also got to look at, with the floods, I don't want to see Logan going through these floods again. And unless we address climate change, we're going to see another massive flood, and it'll probably be worse. And it won't be 11 years out. It'll be just a few years out.
Yeah.
And so until governments start addressing the real problem, it's either going to be massive floods or historical bushfires. And we look at the people in Logan that have lost their houses, they've lost everything. They will rebuild only to be put in the same situation again. They can't afford this for a start. And I'm not sure how insurance companies are going to deal with climate change either, because I think many people won't be able to afford insurance. There are already a lot of people that can't afford insurance. So,
and some cases are becoming uninsurable.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So after these floods again, insurance companies will be looking at it. Areas that hadn't been flooded before, their premiums will go up. Then in a few years, we'll have another historic flood. You know, what's going to happen there? We can't just keep ignoring that, and we can't keep ignoring the fact that we won't have another pandemic either. And governments and the governments have always known that we would get a global pandemic. I'm pretty sure they didn't expect one of this magnitude, but they've been working towards dealing with a massive global pandemic for decades and decades, but they don't tell the public that. So, and it is because of animal agriculture, because 75% of pandemics are caused by animals, and it's animal agriculture, zoonotic diseases. So if we don't want to see another pandemic, if we don't want to see another flood, if we don't want to see more bushfires, we have to address animal agriculture.
The intensive raising of animals is a perfect breeding ground for these viruses to jump from animals to humans. So it's not a matter of, will we have another pandemic? We definitely will if we don't do something about the way we encroach on native areas, the breeding of animals, also the trade in wildlife. We definitely must spread awareness of that as well.
So if we address those issues, the quality of life for people in Logan will improve. But how many floods, how many bushfires, how many pandemics can people endure? I think people have had enough. It started off 2019, 2022, bushfires, pandemic, floods, so we just need to
Yeah, that's
people
right.
People just have to be aware that the only way to, well, part of the way, there's also fossil fuels and other issues, but the largest contributing factor to global greenhouse gases is animal agriculture, and it has to be addressed, and its byproducts, yeah.
Thanks very much for all your information today, Sue and Linda. It's been really good to have you on the show and tell us all about what Animal Justice Party have for the people of Logan for this coming election, and also to build back better after the pandemic. I've learned heaps. What about you, Tim?
Yeah, same here. No, it's been really fantastic having you both on. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for also giving us the exposure too, because as we've said, it's education and getting out there and explaining these things, which will, you know, give enough information to people to make their own mind up.
Yeah, fantastic.
You're very welcome. You've been listening to Beyond the Rona. Captioned audio is available on our YouTube channel, or you can visit beyondtherona.com to keep in touch or to view previous episodes. Thanks for watching.